Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
To the final hour of our broadcast. Wait, glad you can join us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Dory Monson Show. That's how I'm going to feel 50 minutes from now. I'm going to hate to see you go for the weekend. I might swing by your house sometime this weekend if I miss you too much. Don't be surprised. Sean and I were supposed to go hang out and listen to some live music tomorrow, but Sean has stood me up now.
I know. Sorry about that.
I know. It brought me right back to my youth.
It did.
Getting stood up by my dates.
Oh, that part.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I ever tell you the best rejection I ever got?
From a female?
Yeah.
No.
There's this girl that, oh, gosh, I thought she was cute. And I went to Ballard High with her. I think she was a year or a grade younger than me, but a couple years older than me. And finally, the fall after I graduated, I turned 16. So I got a car. So I thought, well, now I can start taking girls out for dates.
That's right.
So I mustered up the courage to call this girl. I had gone. I'd gotten tickets. Oh, I don't even remember what the concert was. Anyway. And so I wanted to ask somebody out to this concert. And so I didn't really know her very well, and I was calling her totally out of the blue. And back in those days, Sean, you never had a rotary dial phone, I bet. You're too young.
I did.
Did
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up with one of those.
I would dial it as slow as I could. All the Ballard numbers were 7-8 numbers. So I'd wait 7 seconds and then dial the 7. I was trying to get up the nerve. So finally, I get her. She answers the phone.
Oh, she answered, not even one of her folks.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, she answered.
Okay.
I was calling on like a Tuesday. I asked her if she wanted to go out Friday night and go to this concert with me.
Now, did you stumble on your words?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I was. Oh, jeez. You want to talk about somebody with no confidence? That was me.
Right. How many marbles did you have in your mouth that day?
Oh, man. So I asked her if she wanted to go out Friday night, and I will never forget what she said to me. Oh, I'd love to, but I'm getting up early Saturday to go duck hunting with my father.
That sounds like it could have been actually the truth.
Probably was, but to get rejected in lieu of ducks, of killing ducks, it was quite the blow to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, at least she didn't say she was washing her hair. Have you ever had a girl tell you that?
No, I don't think they do. That's
wash their hair?
That's a young wives' tale there. So, anyway, that's my little story to share with you this hour. And now, did I give you all the big leads here?
You gave me zero. I'm assuming the first one is top story.
Yeah, top story, local, tax dollars, and yeah, let's go local again.
Sounds great, Dory. Why not? It's a Friday.
God, doesn't sound like a Friday. This is as tight as the show gets. So now, let's get right to our big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
I mentioned yesterday, our police departments need to be more transparent than any other public governmental agency. Because cops have the power of deadly force on their hips. They can come to our homes. They, you know, it's police departments need to be transparent. And I've had, you know, wonderful. I'll give you an example. Bellevue was horrible a few years ago. And they wouldn't answer questions. They had cops driving drunk from Seahawk games and getting into fight. And they would never talk to the media. And then they have a new regime now. And they came to me. And they said, can you do a video and just help us relate to the media better? And I worked with them. And I think they're very responsive now. And I think Bellevue's just made great strides. Seattle, frankly, the cops are wonderful. And I've got a bunch of buddies who are Seattle cops. Public information, for my show at least, I think they've been, I truly believe that city leaders have told them not to cooperate with the Dory Monson show because city leadership hates me and my show because I'm a watchdog of what they do. King County Sheriff's is really interesting. And I have a bunch of King County Sheriff's deputies that I've gotten to know and who are just wonderful, wonderful people. King County Sheriff's is really interesting for me. First of all, John Urquhart, he was the PIO, then he became the sheriff. He was the most accessible political or public figure I have ever known. Urquhart, no matter how embarrassing the issue for the department, the things that were unfavorable for him personally, I had his cell phone, I'd call him up, he would come on the air and talk about anything and everything as PIO and as sheriff. King County Sheriff has a PIO right now, Ryan Abbott, who is also absolutely wonderful. The sergeant is great with the media, very accessible. But there's something really odd at the top of the King County Sheriff's office. We had Mitzi Johanknik, the sheriff, in the studio about 2 weeks ago. And it took a long time to get her in here, even though she promised me during the campaign that she would be as accessible as her predecessor, Urquhart, if she got elected. But she has a staffer who doesn't like me, her chief of staff. Liz Rocha, who used to be a reporter at Channel 4 for many years, and then Cairo and KCPQ she worked. So she's been in the news biz. But now that she's chief of staff, she wants to keep the news out as much as possible. I bring this up today because The Stranger has a very interesting piece in The Slog. There is and this is really important stuff because, again, our police departments and agencies must be more transparent than any government agency. There is a Office of Law Enforcement Oversight, and it's their job to keep an eye on, in this case, the King County Sheriff's Office. And the director of that office is Deborah Jacobs. Back in September, the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight, they published a report, and they found that they had access to this database of any misconduct allegations against deputies, and the database also talks about the investigation of these deputies. So this Office of Law Enforcement Oversight, in September, they published a report, and it said, King County Sheriff's, you are not investigating a bunch of misconduct complaints against your deputies. Your investigations are incomplete in half of the cases that had been referred to this oversight committee. Something interesting happened right after that report came out. On October 5th, the King County Sheriff's Office, and it sounds like it came from the Chief of Staff, Liz Rocha, she told this Law Enforcement Oversight Committee, you no longer have access to the database that lists the complaints against the deputies. And I know this is a long story, but I really think this is important stuff. They said, Liz Rocha said, well, this woman who runs it, Deborah Jacobs, she hasn't gone through all of the federal background checks and fingerprint data. And they said, until she does that, we're not giving it to her. Well, it's interesting. They gave her access before this critical report. But right after the critical report came out, they said, nope, you no longer have access. Now, Jacobs told The Stranger that she's filled out all of the required documents. She's just now awaiting the final clearance to come back to her. So Liz Rocha denies that it's in retaliation for a Law Enforcement Oversight Committee writing a critical report. And then Seattle Met magazine, they wrote a story about Liz Rocha, Mitzi Johanknik's chief of staff. She makes $155,000 a year, which is her predecessor, who had worked for the sheriff for 4 years, made 10% less, $139,000. And they thought it was notable at Seattle Met that this person, this former Seattle reporter, gets hired at a 10% higher salary than her predecessor, who had been on the job for several years. And she comes in with really no experience on that side. And bring this up because Mitzi Johanknik, when she came in the studio with me a couple of weeks ago, she was just fulfilling a promise she made to me during the campaign. And when somebody makes, and this is why, you know, Jay Inslee promised he would not raise taxes and then has been the biggest tax hiking governor in our state's history. That's a big deal to me. So when Mitzi Johanknik during the campaign said this to me, would you always pick up the phone and come on my show if there was any issue, even if it was an embarrassing one for you or the department?
Absolutely.
Every time. You will always
Every
come on.
Every time.
Okay.
I will respond to anybody from any media anywhere.
No, I don't care about any media anywhere. I just care about me. That's the only one I care about. Okay, so that's an absolute promise, and I will expect the sheriff to honor that forever going forward, even if her chief of staff doesn't like me. And I say this because when the sheriff came in a couple of weeks ago, her chief of staff, Liz Rocha, was with her. And I'm going to peel the curtain all the way back now since the stranger story has broken, talking about how they've stripped access from law enforcement oversight of misconduct allegations. So Liz Rocha was with the sheriff. Sheriff and I had a very nice talk, and I asked a lot of really tough questions. And one of the things I asked, and I will be more blunt about this than I have in the past, although I've referenced it a little more opaquely in the past, I've had a bunch of King County Sheriff's deputies, and the reason I'm confident talking about this now so openly with you is because I have just gotten in the last week another very high-level source that has confirmed what a bunch of sheriff's deputies have told me. And that is that the King County executive, Dow Constantine, uses King County Sheriff's deputies as his personal Uber. That he will go out socially at night. He'll go from bar to bar. Now, I want to know, is this still happening? Because I've been hearing it for a long time from a lot of deputies who are sick and tired of what they tell me is Dow Constantine's abuse of power. That he'll go from bar to bar and have sheriff's deputies drive him. I've been told that Dow Constantine has asked deputies to use their badge to get him into major concerts, like you too. Now, have I been able to absolutely confirm that? Dow Constantine won't talk to me. So I'm left with a bunch of people coming to me, giving me tips. So I asked Mitzi Johanknik, does Dow Constantine use King County Sheriff's deputies as his personal Uber? Mitzi Johanknik gave me a great answer. She said, one of the first things I did on the job, because obviously she'd been hearing the same thing, she said that she drew up guidelines, that he gets security detail during the day, that, and I said, are these guidelines being violated? And she said, not that I'm aware of. So she didn't seem to mind answering. Well, while I'm asking that, I look in the next room and I see her chief of staff yelling at Nicole. I mean, her arms are flailing about. She's yelling at Nicole because I asked a question of a elected official. That's my job, to be a watchdog of government. And if Dow Constantine won't come on my show so I can ask him directly, I will ask the other agency involved. But their refusal to answer questions on either end is not a prevention for me from asking questions that are very relevant to taxpayers and to my listeners. And when I see a government official who was in the news business as a reporter for decades, when I see her yelling at my producer because I asked a question of her boss, I do not do interviews with any preset parameters. I don't do it. In this case, They said, yeah, we'll come on. We'll talk. You know, we'll answer your tough questions. We would like to promote that we've started this gang unit. We'd like to tell some good news. And I started the interview with, tell me about the gang unit. And I mentioned that at the very end. You know, they wanted to get some positive stuff out there. Fine. I'm happy to do that. But I'm never going to shy away from asking tough questions. And I know that means a bunch of public officials won't come on my show. But I know that the sheriff will always come on my show because she promised me that. And even if I'm critical of her chief of staff, I expect that Mitzi Jo Hanknecht will forever honor the commitment she made during the campaign to me. Would you always pick up the phone and come on my show if there was any issue, even if it was an embarrassing one for you or the department?
Absolutely.
Every time. You will always
Every
come
time.
On. Okay, that's unequivocal. Even if I criticize your chief of staff, even if I tell my listeners about how your chief of staff yelled at my producer because I asked you a tough question? And that it was funny. When she was leaving, she walked through the studio without looking at me. She wouldn't look at me. And she gets to the door of the studio, and I look over at her, and I go, because you know, she helped arrange it. I go, hey, thanks, Liz. She won't look back. She just keeps walking, opens the door. You're welcome, Dory. Oh, she was furious at me because I asked a tough question of an elected government official. Sorry. Your boss has made a promise to always come on my show, answer any of my questions. I'm trying to find out if something that very good sources, including many sheriff's deputies and another source that I trust 100%, has told me that Dow Constein in the past has used on taxpayer dime King County sheriff's deputies as his personal Uber. To get to and from bars, to get into concerts. I think that's a big deal. And that's my job, is to be a government watchdog. So when I saw this stranger story that said the very same chief of staff, and look, maybe it's legit. Okay, the person hasn't done the federal background check. We gave her access before her critical story. Now we're using that as a reason to restrict her access to the database of misconduct allegations against deputies. Maybe that's a coincidence that she had just written the critical report. Maybe it's not. But I will always, above everything else that this show is about, and this has been my mission from day one, when I interviewed for this job 24 years ago, what was your show going to be about? First and foremost, a watchdog of local government. And that's what we've been every day we've been on the air. So, it's interesting. I like Jo Hanknecht. I love their PIO. Whew, the chief of staff. Yikes! That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then on a Friday, good batch, our favorite sound bites of the entire week coming up next. Look at the old clock on the wall. This is the time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
An hour of the week, not the day. This is the big one. And our awesome audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. At number three, this is one that bumped our previous number three because this jumped into contention just today. We got this audio. I think I played it for you in the fastest 15. It's one of the weirdest and it's a very distasteful political ad down in Arkansas where a Republican congressman named French Hill. He's running for re-election, and there's a political action committee. It's not connected to the congressman at all, But it's Political Action Committee, and it has put together this ad directed at African-American voters, why they should support the Republican Congressman French Hill.
Number three.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Our Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by Black Americans for the President's Agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So you got to vote for the Republican candidate or else your fathers, husbands, and sons will be wrongly accused of rape and lynched by the white Democrats. That's a bizarre political ad there. At number two, Keira Knightley is an actress who was on The Ellen Show a couple of days ago. And she said that she does not let her daughter watch some Disney princess movies. Cinderella, because the man, you know, she's just waiting for a rich man. And Little Mermaid, you give up your voice for a man. And so they've gotten rid of the Disney movies, which they used to watch in the early afternoon. And so to replace the Disney movies they used to watch, they apparently have the Cairo Radio app. And this is what Keira Knightley allows her daughter to listen to every afternoon to replace those Disney movies she used to watch.
Number two.
She is, however, allowed to watch. Dory is a big favorite in our house.
Of course. There's nothing wrong with Dory.
Fine. You know, Frozen is huge. Moana, totally fine.
There's some good ones. But
there are some great ones.
Mainly Dory.
That's really nice. I appreciate it. Again, Ellen, thank you very much for the kind words about the show. And Keira Knightley, to you and your daughter, I know you're listening right now. Big time shout out to both of you. Love you guys. And at number one in our awesome audio, the biggest story of the week, it came down Monday afternoon. The breaking news is I was traveling home from London. I was sitting in Minneapolis getting a bite to eat for our change of planes. And all of a sudden, the televisions just started blowing up with the news that one of Seattle's native sons, one of the philanthropists who built this city, maybe has had as much of an impact as anyone, Paul Allen, had passed away. Our tribute to end the week with Paul Allen.
Number one.
Look what he's stood for. Look what he's done. Look at all of the extraordinary, amazing places he's taken us to because he could.
He was absolutely amazing. He's such an interesting person. So smart, so good for this community and the things that he has done and meant to this town.
He was one of the earliest tech titans of our region who started giving back to our community.
And that's why you have such a robust, educated, good middle-class workforce around here. It's because of people like him.
I've never met anyone in my life who wanted to do so much good in the world in such a big way.
He knew the names of the Mercury astronauts by heart, so as an adult, he bankrolled Spaceship One, the first private vehicle to put a man into space. He grew up with a stack of National Geographics in the basement and loved fishing with his dad, so he built a ship to explore the ocean.
The discoveries, the science, everything that he went after just showed his spirit, his extraordinary spirit to do great things.
Everything that he was doing, he did at such a high level and with such dignity and grace.
And he said, Mike, if and when it should happen that we get to go to the Super Bowl, you will not believe the people in this city and how they will respond.
As an owner, you really want to do the team right, the fans right, the community right, and build a winning organization.
I had such an amazing feeling to be able to take the Lombardi Trophy back to Seattle, the people of Northwest.
The man who brought this stadium to this part of downtown Seattle, the man who kept the Seahawks here, is raising the 12-man flag.
Rest in peace, Paul Allen.
Yes, indeed. And he's helped provide, I mean, with the Seahawks, three Super Bowls, the London trip, some of the indelible moments of my life. Thank you, Paul Allen. Today's Sign, coming up next. Stretch week come. What a week. What a show. It has been an incredible week. I mean, it started with Sunday's Seahawks game, pre and post game broadcast from London, traveled back on Monday. We've had fantastic shows. Again, lots of exclusives thanks to you. You have such a great sense of the radio show, and the stuff my listeners send me allow us, I mention this all the time, but I always have to give you thanks, allow us to break more news than I think any talk show around. So I appreciate you very, very much. And I'm glad we could take you to London with us late last week, broadcast a couple days there. It's just been a fun little ride. And now I get a full weekend off. It's the Seahawks bye weekend, so I get a two-day weekend here. How exciting is that? All right, before I head off into my weekend, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
If you're a longtime listener, you no doubt have heard the story of the ultrasound my wife and I got with our second baby. It's truly one of the most emotional moments of my life. So I have nothing against ultrasounds, but have you heard about what the new trendy thing to do is? In honor of their new babies, moms are having the ultrasound pictures painted on their fingernails. It's something that has started to spread, not just nationwide, but worldwide. It started when a beauty therapist who is 34 years old posted photos of nails she created for clients. Women around the world are now requesting to have their own ultrasound pictures either scanned or hand-painted onto their nails. That's just dumb. It's just dumb. You know the baby's inside of you, right? You know, it's right there inside of you. If you need a reminder, it'll even give you a kick every once in a while so you don't have to look at your fingernails. How things become trendy. One person does something, posts it on social media, and then all of a sudden 100,000 people want that. Get an ultrasound. The dad should get ultrasound tattoos on their neck. I think those neck tattoos are a really good look. That would be a trend. People are going to start doing it now, crying out loud. Today's Sign story number two. I tell you what, CNN is one classy network. Their reporter who has gone after the president more than any other is Jim Acosta. So Jim Acosta is covering the president's rally in Montana last night. And he goes on Twitter and posts, "Tonight, the Trump campaign White House turned up the music. We're vibrating. Nearly impossible to do live TV. I suppose I should be used to this kind of shenanigans, but I wonder if it's a security conflict. Law enforcement, they can't hear either." Just a whiny, "Trump, music's too loud." So a guy who used to be a Melania Trump staffer, but he's not anymore. He's just a private citizen. In response to that long Twitter post by Jim Acosta, this guy named Justin, he just posted, "Dear Diary, ... because it was just such a random thought that Acosta had posted. Jim Acosta, CNN, then responds, "F you," but he wrote out the F word. How about that for CNN? There are reporters writing F you to, this guy's now a private citizen, just because he typed two words on Twitter pointing out that Jim Acosta's whiny little rant was coming across as a whiny little rant. And Jim Acosta, to a private, a CNN reporter, I'm trying to imagine. I don't engage negatively on Twitter because it's not worth my time or energy. I'll give you a perfect example. Last night, somebody sent me this particularly moronic tweet. And I was thinking about just responding just in an explanatory way. And then I clicked on his name on Twitter. And the guy has 15 followers. And I realized, why would I waste my time on somebody like that? Why in the world would I waste my time even to explain something to someone like that? So anyway, but that's what's going on at CNN. They're now typing expletives to private citizens who think that they're too whiny. Nice job, CNN. And then finally in today's sign, California Senator Kamala Harris is considered a front runner for the 2020 Democratic nomination. And she is staking out some unique ground for a Democrat. She's proposing giving people money for nothing.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. Play the guitar on MTV.
Everybody can be a rock star in Kamala Harris's America.
For nothing and your cheeks free.
So her proposal is to give everybody in the country at least $3,000 a year. Money for nothing. If you earn under $50,000, she'll just give you $3,000. She's calling it a tax credit, but if you don't pay any federal income taxes, the government will just send you a check. If you make under $100,000 a year, you'd get $6,000 money for nothing. She says that she saw a survey that said a majority of Americans don't have enough cash on hand to cover an unexpected expense, like a rent increase or a medical bill. You know why a majority of Americans don't have enough money on hand to cover a surprise expense? Because a majority of Americans are too lazy. You want to have a little $5,000 extra a year instead of using the U.S. government to tax other people and give it to you? Get a second job. That's all it takes. All you got to do, $5,000, $6,000 is what she's proposing for $50,000 to $100,000 people. That works out to about $120 a week over 50 weeks. $15 an hour, if you work 10 hours extra a week, you can salt away $6,000 a year and not rely on the government to hijack other people's money. But, Lord help us, that's what the Democrats are going to be all about in 2020. It's what's happening all around the Puget Sound area right now. We'll take other people's stuff and we'll give it to you. It's an intoxicating message for the most slothful and lazy among us. And that might be part of the Democrats' 2020 platform. Lord forbid, I'm doing okay in my primary job. I still work a second job. Because that's what I've done my whole life. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for this week. But I'll think up a bunch of new stuff this weekend for Monday's show. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. The Ron and Don Show's coming up next, and I will see you back here Monday. High noon. Head up.
I come in here every night. I tear into you. I abuse you. I insult you. And just keep coming back for more. What's wrong with you? Why do you keep calling? I don't want to hear anymore. Stop talking. Go away!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.